This episode of Boat Briefing is sponsored by Amico & Co. Based in Genoa, at the heart of the Mediterranean, Amico & Co. is a family-owned refit yard with more than two centuries of maritime heritage behind it. Today, the yard is widely recognised for its work on large yachts, offering a full-service refit capability delivered largely through its own in-house teams, from paint and engineering to complex conversions and structural projects. Rooted in one of Europe's great historic port cities, Amico combines tradition, technical depth, and long-term thinking, making it a trusted partner for owners, captains, and shipyards alike.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. I'm Ed Slack, the Group Editorial Director of Boat International, and I'm thrilled to have you with us today. I have the great pleasure of welcoming Henry Hawkins, the EVP, or Executive Vice President, of Baltic Yachts, to our show this morning. Henry is here to share the inside scoop on an extraordinary superyacht sailing event that left me, a relative newbie, both awestruck and admittedly a little bit bewildered, I think, in equal measure. Yes, I'm talking about the St. Bart's Bucket, a spectacular event that I had the privilege of attending alongside some of the boat team last week. So sit back, relax, and join us as we dive into the magic of this unique event. Welcome, Henry. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm very well. Just about recovered from an excellent week.
You've got over your jet lag, etc., and all of that, yeah?
Yeah, no problem at all. More likely the parts, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've guilted you into this a little bit, I must confess, because I should tell our readers that, Henry, we answered your call out of distress, didn't we? The last couple of days of the bucket, you were without a billet and you needed somewhere to stay. And Boat International stepped in helpfully with we had a free room, and Henry and a guest joined us. I should say, male guest, Kenneth from Baltic, joined us for a couple of nights, and we're perfect house guests.
Yeah, well, I have to say a massive thank you to you and the boat team for coming to our aid. Yes, we were billeted on a motor vessel that was out at anchor during the bucket. Unfortunately, they had a commitment that they couldn't change and had to leave a couple of days early. And it was either the beach or begging.
Yeah.
And very kindly came to our assistance. We appreciate it. Thank you.
So somebody even more senior than you came on board. Is that right? And you had to vacate.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't take long for me to drop down the ranks, that's for sure.
Well, you mentioned, Henry, that you know, Baltic, you guys had a great event there, didn't you?
Yeah, superb event for us. It's something that we look forward to every year. And this year we were fortunate enough to have six boats attending, five of which were racing and one of which was on a new social ticket that became available this year. We had three in the Gazelle class, Class B as it was known, Nataris, a 66-meter all-carbon catch. We had Ravenger, formerly Pink Gin 6, and we had Visioni, built back in 2003, so remarkable that she's still out there fighting. Nataris actually did very well. She won the class overall and then took the bucket. I think it was for the third time overall.
Okay.
So they did very well. And then we had a couple of boats in what's known as the Corinthian Spirit class, yep, or classes. That was Canova and Anutruk. And this is a more relaxed way of racing around the track there. And then finally we had Liara as a social guest. She's a 34-meter sloop that was attending for the first time.
Can we rewind a bit? Because you mentioned the sort of social aspect of it. And for people that don't know the bucket, that's its unique selling point, isn't it, really? That it heralds from a time of relaxed racing and camaraderie and all those sort of things. And it's instilled with that ethos.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful history behind the bucket. I was very fortunate in my sailing days to attend one of the early buckets that was actually in Nantucket on the east coast of the US, and those were very rough and ready days in terms of the racing being the least important aspect of the whole event. It was very much a social event. It was initiated by a couple of owners challenging each other to a race, and it's grown from there. And one of the big things that let's call them the custodians, I think they're now referred to as the stewards of the bucket, try to maintain is exactly this sort of camaraderie, enjoyable sailing, and the importance of gathering people together to go for a sail, a parade of sail, if you like.
Yeah, well, we'll get on to the sort of parade and the social side in a bit. But I mean, was it a record number or certainly the most boats for the last decade or something that's was taking part in the event?
Yeah, it was a bumper year. There's no doubt. I mean, it has its ups and downs, and there is no real logic to it. Obviously, cruising plans for boats change all the time. But every now and again, the stars align and you get a really good fleet. And that was suddenly this year. I think we were up to 30 boats, was a very, very good number to have and a difficult one to handle, really, for the organisers.
Yeah. And you know, being there, the weather was great from the shore side. I know they had a cancellation the last day. I think it was on the Thursday, maybe. I lost all track of the week when I was there. It sort of, it all blurs into one, really. But that may be to do with the social thing as well. But it was pretty good sailing, I believe.
Yeah, excellent sailing. So we had the run into the regatta itself. We had some fairly breezy days, but people were out there training and getting to grips with the course. We then raced for 2 days, which was the Friday and Saturday, and they were bumper days, proper Caribbean, solid trade winds, some exciting sailing. But yeah, sadly, we lost the last day due to the winds being too strong. That is... Yeah. Frankly, unusual to lose days for either no wind or too much wind, but we had enough to get a regatta off, which is the main thing.
Fantastic. Now, did you take part in some of the racing? You were actually on board some of the race boats?
Yes, I did. It was perfect opportunity always for us is to catch up with clients and get on boats and get sailing. I generally try and hop around the boats so that spread the love, so to speak. I got the first day was with Anukshuk. Very kindly invited me on board. The second day was with Ravenger. And then last day was going to be with Canova. We did actually get out there. The race committee did their absolute best to get us away. So a lot of boats had all their crews on and standing by, but it was just too strong in the end for us to go sailing. So, yeah, great opportunity to get out on the water. As I said, two wonderful days of sailing. We did slightly strangely. We did the round the island one way, round the island the other way in consecutive days. Normally, they split them with the middle day with a race course, which is referred to as the Wiggly course. But due to the knowledge that some strong wind was coming in on the Sunday, they did the round the island twice in 2 days.
What does it look like then for, you know, if you're part of the crew, if you're involved directly in the racing and you're on one of these big boats, what does the day look like? What, you know, is it an early start? Is it, you know, what is it? You know, a lot of practices?
It's very dependent on the program that's being run. As the bucket has developed, there is a competitive edge to it now. There's no doubt about that. With the advent of a decent rating system, there can be very competitive racing. So if you're one of the boats wants to go racing in a serious manner, then you're more than likely taking on quite a few extra professional hands to get the boat round the track as quickly as possible. A standard day for them would be a fairly early boat call. When I say fairly early, it's going to be 8:30, 9 o'clock, depending where they are at anchor and how many people they've got to get on board. And then it's a question of prepping the boat for the day's racing. It may be selecting sails. It may be just laying out, sheets, lines, control lines and things, making sure everything's perfect before they get out on the racetrack. And before they go, there's obviously going to be a briefing of what the day is expected to bring. And that'll be from the afterguard who are explaining what the tactics are likely to be during the race, what to look out for, etc. That's more the sort of the serious side. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the Corinthian class has come through quite strongly in recent years. And this is an attempt to get boats out on the course who do not necessarily want to be racing with a whole bunch of people on board, a whole extra crew, and to make it a little bit more relaxed. They have different courses. Those courses are set to get the best out of those particular boats. And the major difference there is they're not carrying spinnakers as such. They're carrying furled sails, which are easily rolled up and unrolled, and they must be set all the time. So they're not competitive in the race class, but they can be relatively competitive in the Corinthian class. Those boats, although still serious, will be a little bit more relaxed in their timings and their approach to the racing.
So it's fun, but it's serious fun.
Yes, absolutely.
You can make it as serious as you want to make it.
Yeah, you can be as serious as you wish to be, But the ethos very much running through the whole thing is fun. And I think the professional sailors amongst the fleet are doing a good job of maintaining that. It's so important that the guests and the owners are having a good time. Otherwise, it's a waste of everyone's time. But one caveat I would put on all of it, and that's something that associations such as SIRA, the Super Yacht Racing Association, are leading the charge on, the importance of safety. These are big, big boats with some very, very high loads in them. So they have to be handled correctly by professionals more often than not, just to make sure everyone stays safe, not only on board, but on other boats racing with you.
Okay. So let's talk a bit dockside then. So they finish the racing sort of five-ish, do they? There's a bars set up outside. There's a tent, isn't it, for the crew and people, and there's a nice atmosphere in St. Bart's. And if you haven't been to St. Bart's, it's a unique environment, isn't it? It's a self-contained, very pleasant environment to be in.
Absolutely.
But it feels like when you're walking around the town, when you walk it, you know, it's very much you're bumping into everyone you know, and it's, you know, I spent some time at the Oublier bar on the corner, and you know, you're seeing all the faces going back and go, you know, everyone's, you know, meeting in the same places, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, it is a small island, obviously. It's a Caribbean island, but it really is a slice of luxury. And as you say, many familiar faces. I don't know how many people exactly would have been involved in the St. Bart's bucket this year, but if you think about the number of crew and then guests and owners and then organisers, it's a whole army of people descending on the island through that wonderful flight in.
Yeah, and that wonderful flight in where you sort of drop down into another world almost, your heart in your mouth, and the runway getting shorter. But it's fantastic. And I was speaking to some of the companies and some of the locals there, and you know, the bucket is for a lot of them their favorite time and a very important time for the island in terms of the wealth it brings in and the spend, and it keeps the sort of economy going on the island. They have another festival, I think St. Bart's Festival or Festival, which is another key time, but apparently it gets so mobbed and so busy that it's not as fun, much fun as the bucket. So everyone loves the bucket there.
I think it's well renowned. The organisers do a good job. We also raise quite a bit of money when on the island for local charities and try and include them as much as possible. It is like we're invading, though. There's no doubt about it. I think it's probably a little less than say New Year's Eve, which I know you guys reported on. Yeah. quite heavily. But it's certainly a different vibe. It's fun. People have definitely gone there for fun and to sail. And you know, it's just an iconic venue. When you see the footage coming off the water of these boats sailing around, it truly is special for everybody.
Well, and what's great is that is a sort of camaraderie, community spirit, because every evening there's the social event, isn't there? There's one or two events that people go to, and the organisers have an event. Boat International had a couple of events, and if I do say myself, were brilliant. I know you attended one, didn't you, Henry?
Yeah, that was early in the week. I was convinced that was the villa that you were actually inviting us to when you were offering us a bed, but as it turned out, it wasn't quite a spectacular venue. I mean, that's... I go back to the point that it's not supposed to be a commercial event, so everyone has to fit that in and bear that in mind. But as you talk about, it's the camaraderie, it's making sure that owners and guests are getting the very best that they can and some relaxation alongside some serious racing. So yeah, the events generally take place in the evening. It says something that when you come off the water, if you're not used to it and you've been on the water for a good few hours in the sun and in the wind, actually getting scrubbed up and out to some of these evening bashes is a good challenge.
But I imagine also that, you know, as I mean, I felt it myself, and I hadn't been on the water all day, but day two, day three, you know, you're flying high. Day four and five, you sort of, you've got to, you know, put your brave face on. And
starting to flag a bit. I think it's called regatta fit, for sure. Everyone, I would assume the majority are like you and I, where you're coming in for a week, so it's booked in for a week. You're either arriving the Monday or Tuesday, leaving the following Monday and Tuesday. So it's a good stretch. And because people have made such a commitment to get there, it's important that we stretch it out. I think you saw this year for the first time that the race committee set a course on the Thursday, which is unusual. And that was not compulsory. It was offered to boats to challenge each other and to race on a pre-defined race course. And I think we'll probably see that come more to the fore in the coming years, because ideally you want minimum of 3 days racing. And if we get a situation again where we see that perhaps one of the days or even the last day in this case is going to be blown off, we can sail that Thursday. Everyone's there already, so why not go for it? But with a couple of training days and then 3 race days, it's a good challenge, particularly if you're not used to it.
What I loved about it, I had the good fortune on one of the days. Again, it was, I think it's probably the Friday. I think it was maybe, I was invited out on a large motor yacht to go and see, you know, up a bit closer the action. And it was fantastic to see these big vessels getting quite close at some time, you know, heading for you and going hell for leather. But also the mix, and you mentioned the classes, the Quinthy class, and it brings a lovely mix of boats in, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, you've got your classics.
Absolutely. As you say, you've got your classics, and they were the only ones that went out on the final day, I guess, to race each other and prove a point. But you've got everything from the wonderful Addix and Atlantic right down to your modern speedsters. We had Veer and Galatea there this year racing. So you've got a wide spectrum. And the important bit there is to give them challenging racing, but to give an opportunity to see people sailing. I think I mentioned it at the beginning, the parade of sail. And it's one of the few opportunities when you get to see all of these boats together, and you'll get to, some people will sail past you, some people you'll catch and overtake. You get to see these boats up close and personal. And that's not something you get every week, and is half of the attraction for being there.
Yeah.
And I also point out, you mentioned you were out spectating on the powerboat. There's a few motor yachts now that are starting to attend on a social program or however, just to be in the area. And this is, for me, a very, very important point, is getting and attracting new people to super yacht sailing. So it's, this event provides the perfect opportunity to invite these potential owners to come and see what the sailing world is like, introduce them to some of the key players within the sailing scene and sector. Just show them what life is like on board a sailboat as opposed to motor yacht.
That's very interesting you say that, because the young gentleman that invited us out on his boat, he was a young American fella, and super guy. He'd been at one of our events the day before, and he was smitten with the scene, with the sailing scene. You know, he was though he was young, it was his third big motor yacht, and he was having a great time on his motor yacht, but he sensed there's something missing, and it's the social program. And he was intoxicated by seeing these big sailboats, and you know, I think you've got a convert there, you know. So I can really see, and I sense that's happening more and more in the industry.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, people are looking for new experiences all the time. Let's be clear. And the sailing sector is a small sector. If you take the super yacht environment as a whole, you'll see many of the super yacht builders that, you know, well, whilst competitive when looking for clients, we stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to encouraging people into the sailing sector. And I think, you know, there's several different reasons. It's new experience. There is an awareness of sustainability and the opportunities provided by sailing yachts. Now, put a caveat on that. I'm not saying we're anywhere close to being good enough, but there is an opportunity there, and there is an attraction for people to come and see. But also, I think there's a closeness to the water, and there's something very, very beautiful about gliding through the water under wind power alone.
Yeah, definitely echo that. Yeah. So just for anybody, big motor yacht owners out there listening to this, imagine me, and this might be difficult, Henry. I own a big super yacht, yeah, big motor yacht. I'm thinking, oh, I like this scene. What would you say to anybody, any owners thinking of getting into the sail, into the regatta? What are the things to be mindful of?
I think, if you're owning a sail, let's start from the point of view of you've already got a sailboat underneath you. I think early planning is everything to make sure the regatta goes smoothly. It is a restricted number regatta, so an early expression of interest to the organisers is quite important. And thereafter, I think it's a question of the experience of the captains and crews, all the people in charge of the boat, whether they have experience. And if they don't, there are plenty of people who would be delighted to offer advice, everything from crew to a boat setup to safety setup and what have you. Again, I refer back to the Super Yacht Racing Association. They have plenty of people within the organization or members who would be happy to talk either clients or captains, crews through the process. And then also the Super Yacht builders. We're all keen to invite and encourage people into it. So we're fully available. But I would say early start, early planning, and speak to the guys who have been doing it for years.
And you mentioned the social ticket, isn't it? You can get on a social ticket as well, so you can just come and watch and
that's the perfect way for the powerboat side of things, absolutely. And again, if you're entering on the social ticket, let the organisers know that you'd love an opportunity to get on board one of the boats. Generally, you'll find there's always a space somewhere and you can be invited onto a boat to realise it firsthand. A lot of these owners are very, very proud of their boats and rightly so, and therefore are more than delighted to share the experience with other like-minded people.
Will you be, I presume you'll be heading back next year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it's one not to miss. I'm not sure when it'll be, something number 18 or something like that for the bucket, so I shall be there.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll try and we'll bring a camp bed maybe or a mattress just in case, yeah?
I won't make that mistake again. Carry on,
okay, no worries. There's always room for you in our villa, hopefully, Henry. You know, if you ever need one, you can always rely on BR, yeah?
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
That's okay. Okay, Henry, lovely talking to you. Thank you for giving us a bit of insight and, you know, telling me a bit more about the racing on the water, because I found it fascinating. I see all, when I went to the dock, I was delivering magazines, or I was picking up magazines and we were delivering around it, but in the sort of lowly world of media, and seeing all these crew that were, you know, over these boats, crawling over these boats, 20, 30 crew. Yeah, all I can think of, it's not a cheap way of spending a week.
No, absolutely. There is a financial commitment, hands down. And that's where, again, we talk about the Corinthian class. There's, you know, when you've got a lot of crew on board all being paid, then yes, of course, costs add up and then you're more likely to spend more on sales and things. But the thing is, we must point out it is possible to do with just the boat as it normally cruises. Just come along and enjoy. I mean, it's almost like the old Whitbread days where you had to have several cases of wine on board and have a wine with dinner. I'm not suggesting that now, but certainly the ethos remains. Just come and have fun.
Very good. And that's the best ethos, I think. Brilliant. Okay, Henry.
Thank
you so much for joining us. It's been great talking to you and we'll see you soon, yeah? That's it for this week's Boat Briefing, which was a production of Boat International Media and sponsored by Amico & Co. Thank you.